Just want to read a few verses in 1 Peter. This is just a passage that's brought a lot of comfort to me and stability to me in the past. And I just happened to be reading through it again recently, and when I was asked to speak, this is what I wanted to spend some time on. 1 Peter chapter 1, and we'll focus on one verse, but I'm going to read the first 9 verses. 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which, according to his abundant mercy, hath begotten us again unto a lively hope, or living hope, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Where I want to focus in on is verse 5, and the thought of the keeping power of God is what I've been enjoying. Who are kept, that's those who are, we are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And I was listening to a little bit of ministry on the epistles of Peter, and there was some time spent on connecting the epistles that Peter had written and the thoughts he's expressing and the experiences he had as described in the Gospels. So with that theme in mind, we can see that when it comes to verse 5, Peter knew, or he learned in a physical and literal sense, what it was to be kept by the Savior, by the Lord, to be essentially to be guarded from harm, kept in a place of security. He experienced also his need to be kept in times when he experienced failure, whether it was from attacks external or from failure from within. So to be kept, the word here, translated kept, is a compound word. It's only used, this particular word is only used 4 times in the Bible, in the New Testament. So I'll try and pronounce it, but it's phrureo. So it's made up of the word pro, or meaning in front of or prior to, and horeo, meaning to stare at or to discern clearly. So it's described as to be a watcher in advance. Albert Barnes describes it as a castle or garrison is watched to guard it against the approach of the enemy. So it's the idea of an advance guard in preparation for something that's expected. That sense of guarding, the ESV translated as guard. So this idea of being kept is something that Peter was familiar with. And I just want to, just as I think of Peter, just quickly pass through a few thoughts regarding his experience. He recognized the emptiness of all other sources of leadership. Who can keep him? Who can guard him? Who is sufficient? In his response when the Lord asked them, "Will you also go away?" when others were ceasing following him and going away from him because of some of the things he said. And Peter's response is, Lord, to whom shall we go? To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. To whom shall we go? So there's no other one who's sufficient. He witnessed the power of God to keep him in the person of his son. That situation when the Lord is asleep on the ship and resting, and the storm is beating around them, and there's a sense that they're going to perish. They're about to die. Death is imminent. And they turn to him and cry out to him. And his response to them is, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? So he experienced the power of the Lord again as he walked on the water with him. In Matthew 14, he says, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come to thee on the water. And the Lord says, come, and he walks on the water. And then, as we know, he gets his eyes off of the Lord and sees the wind, sees the storm, and he begins to sink. And who does he cry out to? He doesn't turn back and reach for the ship, try and grasp the side of the boat. He says, Lord, save me. So he recognized the power of the Lord to protect him. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? So he witnessed the ability of the Lord to keep. He witnessed also his own ability to keep his own words. He denied the Lord three times. And I especially, when I think of that situation, I appreciate the account of Luke when it says the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And what was contained in that gaze, what it would have been. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Other situations, he was in the garden in John 17 when the Lord prayed these words regarding keeping him and others. And the Lord says, and now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those who thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. And none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And verse 15, he says, I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil. And then, yet, in this situation, he couldn't even keep himself awake. Despite all his declarations of love, his declarations of faithfulness, his devotion, his genuine devotion to the Lord, he is sleeping. And causes the Lord to say, could you not watch with me 1 hour? In spite of all this, he experiences firsthand the willingness of the Lord to forgive him, to keep him. There's not come to a point where he's rejected and unredeemable because his redemption doesn't depend on him. His ability to be kept doesn't depend on his strength, his ability to do that. And perhaps the words came to him of the conversation that he had with the Lord where he said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? 7 times? And the Lord said, Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until 7 times, but until 70 times 7. And Peter experiences the restoration of the Lord at the seaside in John 21 when the Lord asked him those questions 3 times. Simon Peter, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? So he experienced the keeping nature of the Lord. Not one of those that were given to him was lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And perhaps he could appreciate the words of Paul when he's writing to the Philippians and says in chapter 4, verse 7, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So that concept of kept is something that I've appreciated. It's really meant a lot to me at different times over the years, that We are kept. We are protected, not as prisoners, but as ones who need protection, ones who are not able to protect themselves, ones who are not able to keep themselves in the place where we should be. And then what the next thought I had was the rest of the next phrase in the verse, by the power of God. What is keeping us? It is the power of God. So there's a few different words for power and different ways that power is described. There is strength, ability to exert force. There's authority. There's the brute violence. There's a few different ways that power can be expressed, and there's a lot of different Greek words that are used in different ways. But this particular word is connected more to God's power in His ability to act miraculously in miraculous ways, His ability to perform miraculous acts, those that are in accordance with His nature. So basically, just recognizing that He is not confined by the laws of physics that he created, and the laws of time and energy and those things. He's not confined by those things. He has power beyond that. So His authority is something that is real. But in this verse, it's less the focus on his authority, though that is there, but it's his ability, his ability to act in a way, in a miraculous way, to keep us. And that is, again, that's something that I've appreciated. The same Greek word is used in a couple different ways that help us maybe understand a little bit of it. Luke 5 and 17, the Lord is present in a situation. It says, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them, those that He's around. The power of the Lord was present to heal them. And another place, when the woman comes up behind Him and touches His garment, the word virtue is the same word that's translated power in other situations. So it's his miraculous works, His ability to act in a way that uses that power to perform miracles. And in other places it's translated mighty works, strength, miracles, might. And I just enjoyed the thought of 2 Timothy 1 verse 7. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So we experience in ourselves that power through His Spirit. Not a spirit of fear that we have, but a spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. And we could spend the rest of our time talking just about that verse. But other places that it's used, the preaching of the cross, 2 Corinthians 1 verse 18. It's to them that perish foolishness, but unto us who are saved, it is the power of God. So what is keeping us? What is keeping me? It is not my faith. My faith is not what is keeping me. That is not the source of the power. What is keeping me is not my ability, of course, or it's not even my desire to please God. These things are all subject to my whim, my inconsistencies. It's not even subject to the authority of someone who may not have the ability to keep me if he was challenged. So the picture of the castles and the guard protecting it, in a human sense, there's a thought there that the enemy coming to attack that may be able to overcome it if the force is great enough. They may actually defeat that guard, but there's nothing of that in the power of God. It's the same power by which the Lord performs His miracles. It's the same power by which He upholds all things, Hebrews 1 verse 3. The same power by which He was resurrected, Philippians 3 verse 10. So this is the power that is keeping us. There's no other place where there is such an absolute level of security. So we're kept by the power of God. But it's through faith. And we always need to remind ourselves of the words of James when he shows that faith without works is dead, and we display our faith by our works. We prove that we have faith by the things that we do. But I think of in this verse, the idea of through faith is that there is a source of power that is able to act on an object. And I compare it to electricity. You have in your home outlets on the wall. The power is present there to act on some object if you make a connection. And I think of faith as being that connection. So the cord is plugged into that outlet so the power can be used. The power can now be put to use. There is a connection there. Or you could think of it as a completed channel that couldn't allow anything to flow until it had been fully dug. So through faith, kept by the power of God, through faith. It's not the faith that's providing the power. It's not the faith that's doing the keeping. But the faith is providing the channel or the path, the power path, for there to be an effective working of that power. And again, the Lord had words for Peter when he says in Luke 22 that he's making these words of giving all these words to God of his devotion, of his affirmations, and the Lord speaks straight to him, just says, "Behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, that your faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." And he said unto him, "Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death." And he said, "I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me." So the Lord has acted in our favor, according to Peter. He has taken action. He is keeping us. We're kept. And the means by which he has accomplished this is by his miraculous power. And the way in which this act is made effective in us is through faith. So faith in me, what does true faith look like? It's a faith that results in acts of obedience to God's word. So what does true faith look like in me? It is a faith that results in acts of obedience to God's word. So it's not a passive thing. It's not just a positive thinking or something that affects my thoughts only. It's something that results in me taking actions in different ways according to how God's word is revealed to me. And the destination of all this, the last three verses that I read, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, ye love, and whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. And that's my hope tonight, is just that we could just take these simple words, not a tremendously complex passage, easy to understand, and just comfort our hearts, knowing that we are kept securely by the miraculous power of God, the infinite power of God, through faith. So I'll just close in prayer.